Then there comes a whole other set of teachings. So there's a motive. There's a motive that causes us to start practicing. There's a reason why we start practicing. There's a basis in which we strive for this sense. So there's a basis in which we are trying to get away from that inner troubledness, as it feels to me, or responding to a longing that it's not like that. And that inner motivation is Tathagata Garbha, which translates usually as Buddha nature. So it's in our nature somewhere that we have this troubled response, and we have a longing to get away, and we have some faith. It flickers and everything and comes and goes, but we have some faith that there is a solution to this. That's part of our human nature. Garbha actually means something like, it can mean womb. So the reason we get involved in this is because of something in our basic nature, our inner nature, that impels us almost. He then says, the working basis to accomplish it is having a most precious human life. There's things that help, though. Even then, there's things that help. So one of the things that help are having spiritual friends. That's the one thing that he really mentions. So there's a whole section on contributory causes of enlightenment, having spiritual friends. What's the method of attaining enlightenment? The instructions of your spiritual friends. What's the result? Enlightenment. And then after that, there's activity that happens. On the basis of that enlightenment, activity arises, which is working for the benefit of others. So he says, you might wonder if dejected people like us, that's Gampopa's words, can ever by our own exertions gain enlightenment. Be reassured. It's great. Be reassured. If it can be won by hard work, then it must be within our reach. That's you and me. If it can be won by hard work, then it must be within our reach, because in all beings, Buddha motive is present. It's very, very, it's very encouraging. It's a very kind of positive statement to make. He's basically saying that it's in the capacity of all human beings to attain enlightenment. Actually, he says all sentient beings. In the text, it's all sentient beings. So there's something in that that is very, very positive, encouraging message, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you can do it. You've already got really good conditions. And this inner kind of strength, inner ability, capacity that responds to experience and wants to get to its root, wants to see it in its all its heights and depths. Now, he's also quite practical, Gampopa, and isn't pretending that everyone responds immediately positively to the Dharma. And we know that. I mean, we even know that in ourselves, because sometimes you respond to it more positively than other times. You know, sometimes you're in the footsteps of the Buddha and you go, he never stops, you know, he keeps talking to people, you have that response of tiredness in a certain way. But Gampo was not naive. He then goes through and says, actually, some people are pretty cut off from this Buddha nature. For example, they're not moved by suffering. There's no confidence arises in them on hearing about the excellence of the Buddhas. They don't experience shame. They don't respect other people's opinion. They're not compassionate, and they don't repent of unskillful action. So he's not naive at all. And he says there are people like that. What that means is that they don't develop positive qualities. They're devoid of an effective motive to gain enlightenment, and they wander in samsara for a long time. So they just wander. They wander with that basic samsaric, bewildered state of mind for a long, long time. But even so, they could attain Buddhahood if they were to exert themselves. So he's certainly not naive, but he's just got this very, you know, comes through with this very, very positive, encouraging message about, look, every one of us has got that basic capacity to be able to respond and to do this. But of course, it does require effort. There's quite a lot of other detail about different kinds of people who are a bit less cut off than the people in the, he calls it the cut off family, but I won't go into the details of that. Later on, he says in the next chapter, there's a chapter called The Working Basis, and that's the one about the precious human life. So there the question is, if all beings have Buddha nature, is it still true, do all beings equally have the power to gain enlightenment? So he just unpacks it a bit and says, no, really what you require are a body which represents a unique occasion and a body which effects the right juncture, and then a mind possessing faith. So this is the part of his way of teaching that we're going to reflect on shortly. So the unique occasion is brought about by the 8 freedoms, and the right juncture is brought about by 10 endowments. So that's what I'm going to lead reflections on after the tea break. So I'll not say any more about it then, but basically saying that it's not just any human life that's precious. It's a human life that brings about the unique occasion and the right juncture and has a mind of faith, has a mind that's capable of faith. When he starts talking about spiritual friends, there's a list of categories of spiritual friends. If you've come across this text, you'll probably have come across a quote from this chapter, because he says the best spiritual friend is a spiritual friend in the form of an ordinary human being. That's what we need to begin with. A Buddha could be an immensely good spiritual friend, obviously, as was the case with Pingya, a bodhisattva. Someone on a high level of attainment could be a really good spiritual friend. But A, we probably won't come across anyone like that. And B, we might not recognize them as such. We might not be able, as Pingya was, to actually really kind of take the best from that. So really, what most people need is just a good spiritual friend in the form of an ordinary human being, someone who's a bit more experienced in the Dharma than ourselves, whom we trust. So there's quite a lot said about the ordinary human being in terms of their qualities, and also in terms of remaining in touch with them, how to ask them for the Dharma, and the benefits of being in touch with them. So just to say a little bit about the qualities, you can either have 8 qualities, 4 qualities, or 2 qualities. So if you find a spiritual friend who's got these 8 qualities, that's really fortunate. They have bodhisattva discipline and ethics. They know lots of scriptures, you know, by heart and thoroughly. They fully comprehend the ultimate real. They're full of compassion and love. They possess the 4 fearlessnesses. They have patience. They have an indefatigable mind. And they use right words. If you can't find someone with those 8, this list of 4 would also be good. They're very learned, so they're a good teacher. They're someone who can dispel doubts. And that's because of their discriminating awareness. So their discriminating awareness is more than ours is at a particular stage. So they're able to dispel our doubts. They're agreeable and praiseworthy because of their virtuous deeds. And they point out reality.